This is Eric Mann. We're at Voices from the Front Lines, KPFK 90.7. We're here with Tracy Richardson, who's a strike captain with the United Food and Commercial Workers. Tracy, first of all, just how long is the strike going on right now? And one of the things I wanted to ask you is, I was in the United Auto Workers for, 15 years, and one thing that I know is that strikes, morale is very high in the beginning, but as the days and weeks go on and people's house payments and car payments start coming up and they're subjected to a lot of company propaganda and what seems to be a media blackout against the union's rights, what's it like for you as a shop floor organizer to counter the company's charges and try to raise morale? And what are some of even the problems you're facing on the line that you're trying to address?
Well, today's day number 54. You're right. At the beginning, it was kind of like, hey, we got a week off of work, you know. Everybody had a good time and full of energy. And into the second week was a little worse, third week a little worse. And then the union dropped the picket lines from Ralph, and it brought the Ralph people over. So that boosted morale now that we have two unities working together. Some of the day-to-day things, it just is another day out there. And I guess it takes... each person takes a turn when their low points are, and it just takes everybody to not let that spread. My job is to be the morale booster, to joke or, you know, come on, we're winning this, point out what the effectiveness that, yeah, there's some customers straggling in, but they're still down 80% in business. So, you know, we're doing our job, and this is our job to stand out there, because whatever happens to us is going to happen to a whole lot of other people. So make the problem bigger than individual.
Well, isn't it interesting that for a lot of workers, I'm sure, for them the union was something they either complained about or liked. They saw it as sort of a benefit collection agency. Some of them didn't even give the union credit for all the things that they really won. And all of a sudden they're realizing, oh, my God, I'm the union.
Yeah. I was basically one of those people. I didn't really understand the meaning of a union. And I knew that being a union worker, you get paid better and there's better benefits, but I just really didn't understand. I've been a lot more educated in these last 8 weeks, and now I have union blood running through my veins because I understand it took 60 years of our brothers and sisters to get us where we are today, and it's going to take us however long it takes to hold on to it. That this is like a rebirth of the unions. You know, this is the reason why the unions were formed in the first place, when big corporations and greedy people want to shut down the little man who's doing all the work. You know, there's a great need for unions right now.
Hi, Tracy. This is Damon jumping in here.
Hi, Damon.
As an organizer, because I'm out on the buses organizing every day, trying to get people involved in the struggle, I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about, if you have some of the people you were talking about who, after 54 days, are just kind of vacillating, maybe saying, well, maybe we should take this deal. Maybe it's not that bad. We should cut, you know, quit while it is where it is. You as an organizer, what are the things that you have in your arsenal actually to get them back up?
Well, it's like this. We've already been out here 8 weeks, you know. If we're going to give up now, we should have gave up the first day. You know, if you have to have a part-time job, flipping burgers or whatever, do it. But the number one job is to be out in the line. Why? Because if we fail, then that means everybody across the United States doing every kind of job fails. We won't get the high wage. We won't get any benefits. It'll be basically everybody working for Walmart. You know, so my job is to convince them logically that what we're doing is very important. Then, you know, humor never hurts. I'll act silly or whatever I have to do to lift the atmosphere, but the main thing is just to let them know that this is beyond the individual. This is a unity thing, and they are part of a group that it reaches across the United States. Whatever happens to us, it's going to go all the way across the United States. So try to get them to see the whole picture instead of just, yeah, my car payment's due. You know, Christmas is coming up. But we had Thanksgiving on the picket line, you know, and it was like a true Thanksgiving. It was like a village got together, brought in food, and we had a massive dinner, and we're all unemployed, basically. So just that little symbol there keeps people going.
Isn't it interesting that the capitalists sometimes have more solidarity than the workers? I mean, have you been reading about, of course, that somehow Ralph's and Pavilions and Vaughn's and all those guys have been sharing their, quote, profits as a way to keep the strike going against you?
They've been pretty tricky all along. We figured they've had about a two-year planning strategy about this because I work in a produce department, and our hours were basically cut by 20, and they kept telling us sales equal hours, do more and more with less and less. So obviously they've been had in their pockets trying to be prepared for this. It is a shame that more of the workers weren't united before the strike. They tried to tell us don't make any major purchases, but you know, none of us really thought they would be out 8 weeks.
So Tracy, when you put this into the context of the grocery workers, the SBC workers are talking about going on strike, the mechanics in LA were just on strike, it seems like people are saying enough is enough and that they're trying to fight back. In terms of the context of this strike, what do you think is the significance based on all the other strikes that are going on and other contract negotiations? What do you think the significance of your strike is?
Well, we're one of the biggest unions around. We're 70,000 plus strong. So if the corporate world was able to beat us, the other one will fall very easily. So the mere fact that we're so big, it's up to us to hold the strongest, hold the longest. That's why I try to tell everybody that this is like a mini revolution starting. If every working man and woman just said, we're sick of this, we got car insurance, house insurance, medical insurance, all this money going out, but what's coming in is very little. We need to hold on to what we have and put a stop to the trend, which is for the little guy to do more and get less and the big guy to get more without doing anything. So that the significance is if we fall, then everybody falls. But if we succeed, then everybody will benefit.
Well, it's funny because this is our first show and we're very happy to have you on there because we think the significance of the United Food and Commercial Workers strike is obviously, as you said, a cutting-edge strike. We always said we wanted to use really hard questions here, but sometimes the simplest question is, what can people do? You know, we're not a neutral party here. What can people do to help you win the strike? What can the community do to put pressure? Is there a coherent union plan to involve the community, and what do you want people to do to help you?
The strategy of the union is to put the pressure on Vaughn's Safeway. Safeway owns Vaughn and Pavilion. They're all one entity. Stephen Bird is the CEO of this company, and he's the one playing hardball. It was his plan to, I guess, basically break the union. So what we're asking the public, the consumer, which is the number one player in this, is the consumer, is to boycott Vaughn. That's why they dropped the picket lines on Ralph, to try to put a wedge in between the three companies and a place for people to go, because we realize they own a monopoly of grocery stores, so they need a place to shop. We want them to shop everywhere but Boston.
Got it. And I guess the last question is, since you're in charge of raising other people's morale, I know what it's like as an organizer. If I'm in a bad mood sometime, I don't know if I want to come into work because people depend on me being in a good mood, you know. So what do you do to take care of yourself? What if you're not in a peppy, revolutionary mood that day and people look to you? How do you raise your own morale? Or how do you get it raised?
It's weird because sometimes I'll go in and I'm frustrated and I keep seeing people crossing the line and they won't even look at us like we're human beings. But then there'll be one person that will show up. It's like God sent us. One person will show up and they'll just be, we support you, thumbs up. Could be a little old lady driving by honking her horn with a thumb up. It's something like that which has changed my whole day. Or a little kid holding the picket sign, I'll look at that little kid and I'll say, man, you know, I am a lucky individual. You know, I'm healthy. I'm in a strong union. You know, sure, it gets boring out there, but I'll see one thing like that and that'll turn my whole day. I try to look for the good in anything. Any little thing.
Well, thanks, Tracy, and I think you did a good job of raising our morale as well. We'll stay in touch, and if you want to be back on the show as things develop, stay in touch with us because we're not a one-time relationship here. We're in a long-term committed relationship, and we want you to win this thing.
Well, we love all the support, and word of mouth is the best way to go, and it's just like today you're my one thing that boosted my spirits, and I'm going to spread it to my picket line. So thanks again, and I'll be happy to do any more talks.
Okay, that was Tracy Richardson from United Food and Commercial Workers, a picket captain and sort of unspoken, but again, the growing role of women in the leadership of social movements in this country. Great to have her on the show.
Can you imagine this world with no oppression and no need to dabble in greed and transgression?
Thanks, everybody, for hanging in there with us. This is Eric Mann and my co-host Damon Azzali saying thank you for listening to Voices from the Frontlines. We want to thank our engineers, Mark Maxwell and Maggie LaPique, our producer, Alan Minsky, and thank them all for getting us started and giving us the support we need to get the show going. Spread the word. Voices from the Front Lines is coming to a revolution near you.
If the pack of blonde, Uncle Sam's driving you blind and putting shackles on the minds of your children, for real, son. Beware this system and go to war with this institution.